Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. If you were outside over the weekend, your experiences might have ranged from being on a busy bike trail or a busy walking path to the complete opposite, to an empty closed park or an empty playground, a boat ramp that couldn't be used, and those empty parking lots around gyms and pools and tennis courts. The Tahoe region might have seemed appealing, but that wasn't an open invitation either. So let's start our Monday Mayor's Chat in Truckee. David Polivy is on the phone. And Mayor Polivy, welcome. Glad to have you on Insight.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
So how was the weekend up there?
The weekend was, you know, just like everywhere else. I think it's just really interesting right now. And it's, you know, we're all working through this stay-at-home order, and every weekend and day seems to be a little bit different. So, you know, just as you provided in that introduction, our public parks are closed, but we do have a lot of trailheads up here, as you and many of the listeners know, and those are bustling, very busy for sure.
You've organized in a regional consortium in terms of messaging, and I know you're putting it out for those trails as well as for, you know, downtown historic Truckee. So what are the guidelines?
Yeah, the guidelines are basically right in line both with the governor and then with our regional, or excuse me, our county health department. So we, the town of Truckee, is in Nevada County. And we have been coordinating with our Nevada County Health Department 100% of the way, along with the rest of the county. And then we've also been working across county borders with Eastern Placer County. We have the North Lake Tahoe Resort Association, the North Lake Tahoe region. And yeah, we've all been really working together to try to communicate the same thing, which is a stay-at-home order is just that. So, you know, stay at home and don't travel between communities. That's how, you know, each community is going to, you know, get that resilience up and start to move through this thing. And, you know, all of our lodging is closed. All of our hotels are closed. All of our short-term rentals and vacation rentals are shut down with listings pulled down. And, you know, many of I would say all of our businesses, especially in our historic downtown, which is primarily, you know, retail and restaurant based, those are all closed. So, you know, it's pretty. You can still walk around our downtown, but there aren't any stores open. You know, there aren't any services to take advantage of. There's no nice decks to go and have a glass of wine or a beverage out on. So, you know, we are definitely still trying to get through this. We're really working with our local health community, our Tahoe Forest Health Hospital District, to make sure that, you know, we're moving in the right direction. And all signs do seem to be pointing to yes at this time.
How quickly did it happen up there? And to do a bit of a locator, you're near the Nevada border. So you get the tourism and the traffic from both states, the Tahoe region. You sit at an elevation of what? Are you just over 5,300 feet?
Just about 50. Truckee's at about 5,800. North Lake Tahoe, 6,000. So right around 6,000 feet.
Okay. And the atmosphere of the town is very Western and spirited. And in fact, because of the activity there, it's more like a city than a town. So how was it in the beginning to realize what was happening with COVID-19 and respond to the shutdown?
I've only been the mayor since December. So especially for me personally, this has been an incredible challenge. And I think for our community, for everybody else, you know, I think everybody in our state and really in our world, this has been a new experience and a new challenge that none of us have the experience of looking back in history and saying, hey, here's how we did this 10 years ago or 5 years ago. So, you know, when all of this started, it was a very unknown. Nobody really knew what was going on. And I challenge any other community, whether our size, bigger or smaller, to think differently, because, you know, we can prepare for things like this, but once the wheels start going in motion, we don't really know. And I would say the first real big things started to happen when all of our larger attractions started to close. So that was primarily the ski resorts. This was back in March,
right,
when, you know, we were still in the throes of winter. We actually had a fairly dry winter that ramped up in March, and we started to see some good storms and more weather come through. So it was really quite busy. And as you said, yeah, we're 45 minutes from Reno. We're an hour and a half, you know, 2 hours from Sacramento, 3 hours from the Bay. We're right on Interstate 80. We have the Union Pacific main rail line coming straight through our town. So there's just so many ways in, out, up, down to get through our community. And that just poses all sorts of challenges with communications, and both with residents and with visitors, and how do we get people who are here, you know, who need to go back to the places that they came from and actually wanted to go back to the places that they came from. So how do they get out? How does our, you know, how does our permanent residents get back from wherever they might have been? And, you know, I would really just applaud all of the local agencies who have come together to work through this. We've had CHP, we have our county sheriffs, we have our local police departments, and, you know, everybody in between has stepped up in addition to our private businesses and our citizens more than anybody. I personally really applaud our citizenry for, you know, take this is a social contract, really, right? This whole social distancing and how we now move and operate in our communities, the police aren't enforcing this. This is very much a person-to-person community type of measure to slow the spread of the virus. And I would say we've been working really hard to address each issue. Some came at us all at once and really ballooned into these larger conversations. Some have been a little bit easier, you know, whether it is giving internet service to folks who didn't have it, or providing rebates on utility bills. Those are a little bit more straightforward, and those are a little bit easier to handle. And then there's, you know, then there's just these larger health community conversations that have, you know, that have happened, and we've been able to really have that conversation and hopefully, you know, show our community that we are safe, and we're, and, you know, as an elected leader, doing everything we can to work in conjunction with our partners and to keep our community safe. So it's just been, you know, a really interesting challenge that I think we're all going to look back on this as a very big learning experience for sure.
Mayor Polavy, I want to speak specifically to the health challenge, because last week we spoke with the Nevada County Director of Health and Human Services, Ryan Groover, and we were talking about the fact that initially when COVID-19 cases started to show up, the majority of them, the initial growth was on the eastern side of the county. So it was essentially from the Summit to the Truckee area. I believe that's tapered off, but I'd like to hear your take on that kind of tipped geography in the cases and why you think it was that way.
So, yeah, that's a great question, and you're absolutely correct. And for anybody, you know, maybe to paint the picture a little bit more, you know, I don't know how many people are familiar with their sort of county geography up here in the Sierra Nevada. But, you know, back in the gold rush days, all of our counties were created to be these linear, you know, horizontally linear borders, right? So a lot of our county seats and population centers are 40, 50 miles away to the west. They're at 1,000 feet in elevation. And then you have these slivers that travel up the Sierra Nevada and come up here to the eastern ends of the county, which are generally more sparsely populated and more mountainous. And, you know, there's definitely differences in both opinions, but also how we all do things and just, you know, overall lifestyle, I would also say.
Well, and you have far more rentals and second homes and probably recreational stops and stays on your side of the county.
Absolutely. Just considerably different environments, right? And so I'm not a health professional, and I don't know if Ryan gave you a good medical answer, but, you know, some of the hypotheses are that we simply had more sort of inter-community spread going on. We have, you know, because we have folks who travel here who might have come, you know, who might have been in contact with somebody who potentially had COVID-19. Now, there's all these reports that COVID-19 existed before anybody was paying attention to it. You know, I'm not going to get into the rhetoric or, you know, true or falseness of any of that. But, you know, some of the hypothesis is we do have ski resorts. We had people here from both all over the country, but also internationally. And so perhaps that's how initially we had a higher spike. Luckily, once all of these measures were put into place and, you know, like I was saying before, some people were able to go back to where their primary residence is. All of our permanent residents came back. We have seen a very flat line in new cases, I would say, over the past 2 to 3 weeks now. And all signs do point that we have been successful in flattening that curve. So, you know, it just most likely just because we have a lot of travelers and a lot of people coming in and out is where that initial case spike actually came from.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking with David Polivy. He is the sort of almost brand new mayor of Truckee and suddenly stepped into the challenge of a pandemic. I do want to ask you a couple quick questions. Amtrak goes through Truckee and has made a stop. I've ridden the train there before in the past. What's happening with train travel and stopping in the city?
So train travel ceased. The California Zephyr, I'm trying to go back to my notes, so I have been keeping pretty darn detailed notes. I do a lot of interviews on our local radio stations and then through other media here locally, and so I have sort of my updates through all of this, and I'm looking back right around March 30th. Yeah, effective March 30th is when the California Zephyr train and the Amtrak thruway bus reduced and actually ceased their services. I believe they ended up stopping at Denver at that point. So it was just going from Chicago to Denver, and then they ceased operating from Denver westbound. And so we haven't had any passenger train service coming through Truckee for, I guess it's almost May 1st, so almost for a month now. And that was because they had, I believe they had a conductor or two positive diagnosis for the COVID-19. So that actually, apparently there aren't a lot of backup Amtrak conductors out there in the world these days. And so they had to cease their train service. So there hasn't been any passenger train stoppage here in town at least through the month of April. Freight trains do continue to run, although I live fairly close to the train tracks, and it's always, you always know as the train's coming through because it's quite loud and we wouldn't even be able to talk like this. But it feels like there's been a decrease in freight traffic, although that's just based on how often I have to be quiet when I'm talking on the phone these days. So.
All right. Well, the last topic I want to get to with you is this push and pull between do we stay closed for public health reasons? Do we open to economically save our area? I'm interested in whether you've reached out or as part of the region have reached out to the governor and what opinion you've expressed and how much pressure you're getting locally to get some sort of business up and open again.
So, you know, this is like the question of the day, I think, right? I think every mayor and every elected official and every community leader is facing these questions right now. And I think the best answer is we don't know because we're just continuing to stay the course. So for the time being, we are continuing to stay the course. We believe it's in the best interest of our community to work through this and continue to practice all of the CDC and state guidelines. With that said, we do expect continued and heightened visitation as we get into summer. That's just going to be a natural progression. You know, there is no school, there aren't any kids' sports. families have been wherever they have been for now going on, almost 45 days, practically longer for a few communities. So people are going to be looking for something different, a different wall to look at, a different tree out their windows, whatever it may be. And I think, we're getting ready for that. We are actively strategizing on a proactive plan for addressing the increase in our population during the summer months. And really what we're going to allow is for a structured, gradual, health risk-based restoration of activity. So we're totally intensely focused on our overall community health up here in Truckee. And, we're going to balance that with what we do know is coming, or what we're expecting is going to be coming, especially if and when lodging opens back up again.
Could I pause you for a minute and ask you for a timeline? Because we've got the Memorial holiday weekend coming up in a couple weeks. Are you thinking of some of this gradual opening happening before that Memorial weekend or after?
I can't answer that question right now today. So we have a town council meeting tomorrow night, and this is going to, we're going to have a few conversations like this, and we're working with our regional partners, especially in Eastern Placer County and our hospital district, to really start to look at the steps that we need to take as a region to put this through. So I can't answer for you right now what 30 days out is going to look like. I think we're just going to be in an active, strategizing, proactive role. So every single day we're having these conversations, and every single day we will continue to evaluate what's happening on the ground. And as soon as we have some answers, we will be telling, our region and especially our potential visitors what that's going to look like. But for now, we are holding true to everything that's in place, which is the stay-at-home order as it is. That's what we're, our attitude is help us help you. And what we really mean by that is we in local government, we in all of these local districts, public service districts, health districts, the best that we can all do in order to move towards what you're speaking of and move towards that reopening is to continue on the path that we're on and trust that we're going to be looking out for the best health of our community first and foremost, and how we get there. We're really anxious to get there. I'm a local business owner. I own a local retail store. We are currently closed. I'm very anxious to get open as well, but we have to do it in a safe and reasonable way. And I can't give you a concrete answer on that today.
Understood. Mayor Pahlavi, I'm going to book myself for a follow-up conversation with you right now. And when we talk again, I am interested in more detail on the impact that your community has had. I'll also add that we're going to post a website link because the Resilience Fund Sierra is now open for small business owners who are looking for some relief from the COVID-19 closures. So we don't have time to get into all of that now, but I will post that link on our website, and I'll book you right now for a follow-up, okay?
Yes. So I'm so glad you brought that up because it's so great, and I just really want to say thank you to all of the funders and everybody else who's been a part of creating that fund. It's really exciting. So I'm glad we can do that for our business community.
Yeah, these are
happy to be there for you.
Low interest microloans, and the range is from $5,000 to $25,000 for operating capital. So really a terrific fund. We'll post that link. Mayor Pahlavi, thanks again. I appreciate talking with you. Good luck and take care up there.
Thank you.
David Pahlavi is the mayor of Truckee, California. Now we're going to shift to Chico, and the mayor of Chico is a name that anybody who knows anything about Chico knows about, and so it is Mayor Ann Schwab on the phone, but perhaps a bit surprised to be introduced again as mayor of Chico. Welcome to Insight.
Thank you very much for having me, Beth.
Do you want to explain a little bit about what I'm referring to? Because there was an emergency meeting, and here you are for your third go-round as mayor.
Yes. Well, as you know, the city of Chico selects their mayor by the council. And in March, the council had change of direction and decided to put me in the mayor's seat. And so I've been the mayor for my third term starting on March 25th.
So Mayor Randall Stone was removed from the position. It puts you in the helm, navigating, still in the midst of campfire recovery, and now in this pandemic. Tell me how it is to navigate and to kind of meet the challenges of your city, which swelled with people after the campfire and now has people trying to lock down during COVID-19.
It's been very challenging for us as a community. I think it was important for the change of leadership to bring the community together so that there was not as much divisiveness. And the agenda should have only been, let's recover from the campfire, let's recover from COVID-19 and face that. As you know, the campfire devastated the town of Paradise, and most of quite a large number of people that had lived in Paradise came to Chico. And so that put a strain on our already impacted housing situation in Chico and increased the number of people that were living in the streets and unhoused. So we had that. We are still recovering from that. We have not received federal funds to help the community recover and limited state funds. We were trying our best to predict what our financial situation would be coming out of the campfire. We did receive additional, because of the additional population increase, we had additional sales tax, we had additional TOT, tourism and occupancy tax. And so we weren't sure if that was going to continue in 1920. So we very conservatively forecast our numbers. Well, as it turned out, those numbers continued to grow. So we did right now have a bit of surplus in our budget for the current year. However, with the the fourth quarter being very uncertain as to what our sales tax and tourism and occupancy tax will be, and actually the delay of paying those sales tax to the state, is going to be difficult for our community.
So was your county able to be part of, or is it part of FEMA's Project Room Key in trying to find motel or hotel housing? Are there trailers? Are any of these state programs that the governor continues to announce able to, I guess in a way, they would take care of both situations, even though it would be meant for COVID relief? You're already in the midst of an ongoing emergency.
Yes, we have been able to utilize the Project Room Key, and the funds for that came to the county and came to our county's Continuum of Care Committee for allocation. We did make one hire in a response to COVID-19, and that was a hire of a homeless services coordinator. And that is Homeless Solutions Coordinator Joey Amaro, who had been the director of the Torres shelter. So she was able to hit the ground running, and that she knew all the relationships already. She had a great understanding of what our needs were. So she seamlessly moved into that role. And as of the end of last week, we probably had over 100 people in the Project Room Key. There's one real heartwarming story that was related to me about this. Probably 6 weeks ago, I went on a ride along with our police department's target team, which is the division that works directly with our homeless population, and was able to meet a number of individuals that were just living on the streets. And one man had terminal colon cancer. He had no resources to live anywhere, and he was sleeping by a creekside. Well, Ms. Amaro was able to reach out to him and get him into a hotel room through the Project Room Key and connected him with the hospice program. Well, the hospice program said that they couldn't meet someone who is living in a hotel room. So instead of just leaving it like that, Ms. Amaro connected with a local organization called CHAT, Chico Housing Action Team, and they were able to find a room in a home for him. Mm-hmm. And so now this man is going to be able to have hospice care for the last phase of his life. And that just brings that human story to what having this position will be for our city and for our individuals.
Hmm. So with that in mind, the kind of human spirit of all of this, how mm-hmm. are people, Mayor Schwab? How is the atmosphere, the mental health, the spiritual health of people having gone through so much after the campfire, now into this different time?
Yeah. You know, we are a resilient community. We're passionate. If there is a cause, we'll come together. We continue to step up because we care so much about one another. Tensions are high, though. People are engaged. They're very opinionated. It's been difficult with our council meetings because we've been having the council meetings without the public in the room. We've encouraged people to email their comments and to connect with us in that way. And we are only trying to hear very emergency type items, but it's taking its toll.
Well, I think you were even quoted locally as saying the community had been in a crisis, that there was an emergency just from the leadership standpoint on top of everything else that was happening. And for people who don't understand Chico's experience, can you just give me a sense of the numbers? Paradise went from a thriving big community to now just a few thousand people. Chico had the opposite story. How did your population change?
Our population grew by 20% in one day. We went from 100,000 population to 120. So not only did we have the highest percentage of population increase, we had the highest number of population increase last year in California.
And as far as children go and distance learning, there's something to be said for having had that experience already, but you still had students that were not back in a permanent school. What's the end of this school year looking like in Chico?
For the end of the school year for both the Chico Unified School District, for Butte Community College, and for California State University Chico is that no classes will continue to be in session. They will not have graduation ceremonies this year. That's been very hard. Durham is a community that's just a little bit south of us.
Right.
And they probably had a graduating class of that maybe between 80 and 100 students. And a local sign company printed little roadway signs and put the pictures of all the graduates along the midway, so that when people are driving down, they get to see the graduates' pictures. On Facebook, there's been an adopt a senior page that people are putting profiles of the high school graduates on them and asking community members to adopt one of the graduates, to give them a card, some good wishes, just sending them some extra love.
Mm. Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, now that you are back in this office that you know so well, can you tell me your top one or two priorities? And of course, your situation in Chico is different from Truckee, is different from Stockton and every other city in the state. So the statewide priorities aside, what are you trying to do most immediately for Chico?
Most immediately is to get information out to the public and showing that we are continuing to provide essential services that we're going to live within our financial means, and we're going to ensure the safety of our employees and our public. I've started a series of video meetings, video infomercials, if you were, called Chico Connects. And I'm interviewing different department heads, different divisions of the city, so that people can see what our city is doing while City Hall is closed, just providing not only essential services, but innovation. For instance, our fire department is going to roll out a program called Community Connects, and that's a way for our community to add some profile information about their household. If the fire or rescue department needs to come to them, they can let them know if there's anybody in the household that might be experiencing COVID-19 or have any specific health needs. Went out to watch a street project with the public works director, and emphasizing the importance of some of those projects to continue forward because they provide good, high-paying jobs for us.
Right.
Doing an infomercial with the university to encourage students to stay at home and getting through this together. And that's, I think, the most important message, is that we will be a great community and we'll continue with this forward.
Well, I thank you for taking time out of all that you're managing right now to join us on Insight. I appreciate being able to connect with your city and your county, and you all take care.
Thank you. Thank you. And you too.
That's Mayor Ann Schwab, the third time now mayor of Chico. You can find some of our past mayor chats on our recent Monday shows. They are at capradio.org/insight. Up next, the uplift from a photographer who never expected that she'd be the one to capture images of families in the midst of their stay-at-home experience. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.